I'm thrilled to continue our series, Home Sweet Home, looking at different aspects of our home life and our home church. And I'm really going through all the different cliches of the word home. And so last week was no place like home. And home is where the heart is was the week before. This week, we're looking at homework. Homework. You know, that's funny. That's a great segue because my first aspect of my notes are there are two types of people. Those that love homework and those that don't love homework. I'm just curious, how many people, excuse my voice right now, I got a cough. Excuse me. You know, I'm thrilled that my notes worked this week. That is, that was, Nikki and Pat told me, get that printed every week from now on. And I was like, yes. I forgot this week. But I checked my notes and like went through everything on detail on here, so we're good to go. And I have my phone as backup, so I have two backups, and I have it in my email, so I can print right away. We're good. That was so embarrassing last week. Homework. Wait, who doesn't like homework? Just show of hands.
Depends on the subject.
Generally, we don't. Who doesn't like science homework? Who doesn't like math homework? Do you know, this is a true fact. I used to do math homework for fun, and I did an entire math book in homework and turned on all the assignments to the teacher, and they bumped me up math grade. Because I really like, it's fun. I really like geometry. You did the same, okay. Who likes English homework? That's the worst. That is the living worst.
No, that's my favorite. English homework.
You know what? I think they should have gotten rid of English homework when the spell check came out. Like, I'm good. Spell check is the best. But then again, half the words that it spell checks to are not the right ones. Oh my goodness. You know, the definition of homework is work or study done in preparation for a certain event or situation. It's preparation for something you're gonna face. You're getting ready for something. It's homework. It said homework is one of the best ways to prepare you for the tests you will face. Really, really think about that. It's not just a scholastic thing, but in life, we all face tests. It's not if we face tests, it's when we face a test. We all have tests. We all have challenges that we face. We all have something that will just slap us in the face and confront us. And homework is a way to prepare for that. So today, I really just want to focus on, well, how do you find verses on homework in the Bible? What does that even look like? And how do you prepare for the tests that God has in your life? You know, there's nothing worse than bombing a test. Who is like just bombed a test? Like you walked in. Okay, has this ever happened to anyone? This happened to me a few times because those of you who know me like better than well, you know that I might not be the most administrative person. And do you know? No, this is a true fact. I had dear loved ones close to me said, you know what? You really should start keeping a calendar a year ago. This is a new thing. I'm working with it. And I remember going through college, and it wasn't just a one-time thing. It happened multiple times. I walk into my classroom, sit down, excited, say hi to the teacher. Man, it's good to be in class today. And then all of a sudden, he starts passing out the test that I had no clue that was that day. I have bombed my fair share of tests. Oh, there's nothing worse than bombing a test. And like, have you ever gotten the multiple choice, like, and true and false? Like, that's the saving grace of tests. Like, why can't all tests in college be true and false? You know, like, I have a 50-50 chance of getting that question right. Can we do this? I've once had a teacher. It's the worst. Like, they set me up just to knock me down. It was 100% true and false test. And I was like, yes, this is where my grade increases. I got this. I showed up and it was true and false, but it was true, you mark true, and false, why? Like, really? Like, why even taunt me like that? And you know what is even worse? Every answer was false with why. That was the worst. Come on, buddy.
The whole text?
Yes. I'm still mad about that. How many years ago was that?
Turned out good.
Turned out. I made it through college. I got it. Man. Yeah, that even, I'm still like reflecting on this. It's like still a bitter taste in my mouth. I think that's why I'm coughing so much. That it's like, ugh. You know that feeling like you bomb that test and it's like you walk out of the classroom like, I'm taking this class again. Like I already know. Has anyone ever had like you have your test and you're taking it and then you're like, oh, I don't even want to see it. But then the teacher goes, okay, now switch with someone next to you. And you're like, I don't like you anymore, teacher. Did you know God loves tests? How dare he? God loves tests. I spoke on tests a few times last year, but the conclusion is what is tested can be trusted.
Yes.
What is tested can be trusted. What is tested can be trusted. I don't want a doctor performing a surgery on me that hasn't been tested on surgery. He is tested, and now I can trust him. I don't want to hop in an airplane, and one guy says, I got this. I want him to be tested first. Can he fly an airplane? Can he do that? Because I want to be able to trust him. In life, we all face tests. So let's look at today, how to prepare for them. How to prepare for them. In my prayer and seeking after this, pastors shouldn't admit this, but I had a sermon title before I had the message. And I was praying, God just gave me the word, homework, preach on homework. Okay, where's that in the Bible? And we're praying over it, and God led me to the book of Joshua. Because Joshua would lead these people, this entire generation of people, across a river and into the promised land, which is what God promised that they would live in. He was tested along the way. He was tested at the Jordan to get over. He was tested at taking over the cities because they belonged to them. But right before he crossed over with the people, God spoke to him three things. Homework. Do this before you cross over. So out of the book of Joshua, chapter 1-3, we're not going to read all of it today because that would be the service. I want to read some highlights. And we had a couple issues. The computer restarted during worship. And so the verses are not going to be on the screen, but the points will be. So open up your Bible, Santa Biblias, whatever you got. Open up. If your Bible glows, go for it. All right. So I looked up how to do homework. I did some research. What is homework? What does it look like? Just an onslaught of homework research. And it said, I found out there are three things you have to do for every homework assignment. And they're the three points for today. Number one, hear it. I think this is really practical. If you don't hear the assignment, you won't even know to do it. Right? I think we can all agree that's pretty basic. You need to know that there's an assignment to do the assignment. You don't just like miss a day of class and assignment's given and then you're just like, oh, I sense an assignment is due today on page 93. No, you have to receive from the teacher what the assignment is. So Joshua 1:7 is this. Only be strong and very courageous, this is God speaking to Joshua, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So God's telling me your homework is what I told Moses, you do that too. Don't turn from it. Don't go to the left, don't go to the right. Don't forget about it in your stack of papers, your notebook, and your backpack. And don't lose track. Do it. Do it. One more throwback. How many people, again, there's two types of homework doers. There's the ones that like it and the ones that don't like it. And oftentimes, they're the same category. Those that like it, if you see their backpack, It's like perfectly like in every notebook with the little colorful tabs. Like they have the trapper keeper that actually has trapped the papers in it. And the people that don't like homework, you oftentimes you can't even close the backpack all the way because every paper has been taken and like pushed into it and it's overflowing. And at the end of the year, you open it up and you're like, well, I need this backpack for next year. And you're just taking hordes of papers out and you're like, Mom, can you sort these? Too much information. That's my life. oh my goodness. God's speaking. Do we listen? God is telling Joshua to listen to all the things he already told Moses. It's about what? It's about listening to what God is speaking to us. If we don't hear the assignment, if we don't hear the homework, how can we even begin doing it? If we don't hear how to prepare for the tests in life that God has for us and the enemy throws our way and whatever else goes in front of us, if we don't hear beforehand, before reaching that, we can't prepare for that. It's practical. It's real basic. So Oxford Learning, there's a website called Oxford Learning. I don't remember the ending on it, but it says it gives three things to do before leaving the class. Three things to do before leaving the class. And I kept thinking about this, before leaving the class, before leaving the presence of the teacher. Three things to do before leaving the presence of the teacher. If we switch this spiritually, three things before leaving the presence of God. Three things you want to do when you are praying. A, write down the instructions. Write down what God is speaking to you. How many times do you feel like you felt God's presence at church or the pastor said something really good and you're like, man, that's great. And then like 10 weeks later, you're facing what that pastor said and then you don't remember what he said, so it doesn't help you anymore. Write down what you hear. Write down the assignment. Okay, B, ask questions before starting. When you feel God speaking to you, you feel that sense or that overwhelming comfort or peace or something ministers to you, there's a word from God, ask questions. Don't just go, yep, and then go home and go, what am I supposed to do now? If you don't know what you're supposed to do, you kind of get distracted easily. That might just be me. But if you aren't clear on the process and the order and the direction and the flow of where you're headed, you kind of do one of like these things getting to your location, right? Just like a puzzle. If you open it up and throw like a 10,000 piece puzzle on the ground, a ginormous puzzle, and you don't have directions or the front picture, you're just kind of shooting, guessing where things go. It'll take you a considerable longer time to complete that project than if you had the directions in the beginning. I had this teacher. Does anyone know Jim Adams from Life is a Girl? John in the back. Yeah, just raised his hand. Jim Adams is known as one of the toughest teachers at Life Pacific College. He's just a super intellectual, super brilliant guy. And he's just known as like, if you can avoid his class, do it. Like it's hard. It's a very hard class. And I remember the registrar, I was signing up for, I wanted to take as many classes as I could so I can graduate sooner. And so in order to do that, you have to meet with a registrar and like they have to sign off stuff, you know, get teacher sign off. And she looked at me, she's like, you're gonna take a Jim Adams class when your total semester count will be 24 units. Are you positive you wanna do that? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure, it's just another class. And she's like, I don't think you understand. And so I remember the first day I met with Jim Adams after class, I always try to meet the teachers. That was just something I learned growing up. If you're not very good at school, meet your teachers and get a grasp on what you're supposed to do rather than shooting at the dark at your homework time. So I asked Jim, I was like, so the homework assignments you're giving, can you break it down and tell me precisely what you want me to do in this homework assignment? And so he goes, okay, I have questions and just put the answer. I don't need sentences. I don't need paragraphs. You can bullet point. You could put numbers. I don't care. I just want to see that you have the answer down. I was like, that's pretty easy. All my homework assignments were half a page to maybe a page of bullet points just turned in. And I would be turning in my homework assignment, and I remember seeing other people with like stacks of papers multi-stapled together on the same homework assignment being turned in. And they'd get theirs back and like, I got a C. And they're like, what'd you get? I'm like, 100%. Like every time I had the highest grade that semester in that class because I asked the teacher what they expected. Turns out later on, he said halfway through the semester, he goes, hey, listen, all of you guys are writing out theses and like full papers per question. I don't care about that. And oftentimes you start writing and you write yourself in a circle. So I have to mark it as negative because it seems that you don't comprehend what's supposed to happen. And I was like, I asked the teacher what to do. I look like the smart one today. This is fantastic. Ask questions before starting. Ask questions. Rather than assume what God is trying to tell you, ask questions. Hey, pastor, what can you pray with this over with me? I want to ask questions. I don't comprehend it yet. Is there a mentor I can talk to? Is there someone that I can trust in to give me a good answer? And I think this, at first I thought this goes without saying, but I think I need to say it. In classes, if you ask a friend for help on the question and they don't know what they're doing, it doesn't really help you out too much, right? You need to go to the professor. Oftentimes, go up, go to the TA, go to someone who's taken it and run those tests. In church life, don't ask questions from someone who doesn't know. They'll give you an answer, but it probably isn't the best answer. They might give you wisdom and direction, but if you ask God or go to a mentor, or go to someone who's been through it, been through the season, they oftentimes will give you great directions, great wisdom. All right, and C, Oxford Learning gave three things to do before leaving the class. Know the due date of the assignment. Oh man, I can't even tell you how many stories. How many times I've been like writing a paper halfway through it only to find out, whoops, that was due today. Know when it's due. How's that apply to us? Know the season you're in and sense when that season is transitioning. Because you better prepare for when that season kicks over rather than just winging it when that happens. Really feel that out. Know what God is speaking to you and when that he is speaking to you. There's nothing worse than trying to accomplish something that God speaks to you out of season. I've given this example a lot of times. I lost count. When my daughter is ready to drive, when she's 16, 17, 18, or 35, whatever age when she's ready to drive, we'll help her get a car. We'll probably give her one of ours. We'll let her use it. And it's great. It's a blessing from us in perfect timing. But if I take the same daughter and the same gift and the same giver, but the wrong time, like if I give her a car now, put her behind the wheel and say, good luck, London. Good luck at kindergarten. Atlas, you're gonna have a great time. That's not gonna end well. You gotta know the season. You gotta know the timing. You gotta pray about that. If you don't sense a timing yet, that means it's not now. I was in my notes, it just came to me. That was really good. I need to write that down later. Love when the Holy Spirit just speaks up like that. All right. Three things you have to do for every homework assignment. First one was hear it. You gotta know that there's a homework assignment to prepare. Second one, number two in your notes. If you have a bulletin, write this in. If you have notes, write it down. Number two, prepare it. So number one, hear it. Number two, prepare it. Prepare it. Joshua 3, 5 through 6 says, then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. In the morning, Joshua said to the priests, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. So they started out and went ahead of the people. Preparing, preparing. Preparing. So let me just talk practically for a second. If you get a homework assignment, you hear it. Okay, it's due on the 16th. It needs to have this many bullet points. It needs to be color copy. I don't know, whatever else. It needs to be ready. You sit down to do your homework at a blank table with no computer, no utensils, no anything. How can your homework assignment be done? You need to prepare to do the homework, right? You gotta have the book, you gotta have the materials, you gotta have the paper, the pen, the laptop, the collating machine, whatever you need to have to do your homework, you gotta have it. You gotta prepare, you gotta get the things ready, the resources ready to do your homework assignment. So practically, when we have homework in our life, it prepares us for the tests we'll face, so we need to prepare for those tests. We need to prepare for those assignments, those training things that God has puts in our path, our way, our direction. So three ways to prepare your homework. A, gather all the resources needed. Get what you need before you start. If God speaks to you, I'm just gonna throw out an example. If God speaks to you about small groups, leading a group of men and women at your home. If God puts that on your heart, you don't just call up 10 people and say, hey, show up at my house tomorrow night, let's do this. You need to prepare for it. What are you gonna say to them when they get there? Is there gonna be food? Are you welcoming them? What needs to happen? Do you have seats to accommodate them? There is a preparation for the word that God gives you. Preparation. But also personally, look at this. If you need to talk to your child or a child, you need to prepare by having peace in your heart first. If you're going into surgery for something, prepare by having a word on healing first. There are things that you will face, but it's drastically different being prepared and not prepared. Do you know how many wars and battles were won and lost based on the soldiers being prepared and not prepared? You can look at that stat. It is staggering. The people that are prepared are oftentimes in victory. Be in the right place. Be in the right place. The study said, if you're in a place that distracts you, it's probably not a good place to do your homework. If you try to do your homework in an arcade or a comic book store, how much homework are you really gonna get done? You need to be in a place that will accommodate what you need to work on. Location matters. A place that will help you with your homework rather than pull you away from it. Spiritually speaking, what locations are you at in your life right now to prepare you for the tests that are coming your way? Are you in communion with other believers? Are you in relationship with other believers that will help you in that location for the tests that you will be facing? Location matters. C, it also says in the study, be in the right mindset. Don't try to wake up at like 3 a.m. and knock out your like senior thesis. Be in the right mindset. Be in the right mindset. Be where you need to be prepared, but then have your mind on it. Like, have you ever been trying to do a task, but your mind is just elsewhere? Like that task gets kinda done. Like, not very good. You know what I mean? That's why when they say operating heavy machinery, don't operate heavy machinery while on this medicine, because it makes your mind go in a different place. Right? I don't know any heavy machinery operators. Don't drink the NyQuil right before. Driving your car. That's such a good point. Have you ever been driving and your mind is preoccupied and you're like going to destination, all of a sudden like you're at the destination, you're like, I don't remember driving here. I know I'm here now, and thank God no accidents happened. But how did I just get here? Like, has that ever happened? Make sure your mind is in the right mindset. All right, going back to the verse and staying within the right mindset, God is very specific and tells Joshua to tell the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. Purify yourselves. Purify yourselves. Oftentimes we can just look at this word and filter it through our own perspective and our past or history. Purify yourselves. Oh, that means doing this and this and that. Well, it's very specific what he's saying here in the Hebrew. He's actually pointing out this. You have these families that have grown up, born, died, lived in a desert for 40 years, going in circles. And at one point God says, it's time, cross over, but purify yourselves. What, you know what he's doing right there? He's saying everything from your past is covering you and you're about to head into this new land. I don't want you to take the desert with you. Oh, that's so good. That could be a whole message. Don't take the desert with you into this new land. This land of milk and honey, this fertile land, this land that's green and brilliant and bright. I don't want the desert over there. Leave the desert behind you. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. I love this imagery. I think I need to preach a message on this sometime. But did you know, purify themselves? They had to go to the stream that they're about to cross over to purify themselves. This natural stream that was deadly and toxic and would kill them, but they had to use the stream. The barrier that was holding them back was the same barrier that kills off their past. The thing that they're facing, the obstacle that they're facing, is what separates their past from their future. You know what I love about this? Rather than passing through the stream and being purified in the moment they're crossing over, they're purified because they won't be touching the obstacle in passing over to the promised land. I don't have time to expand upon that, but it's really deep. Write it down, think about it. Say it again. I'll talk to you after service. It's on the podcast now. Be in the right mindset. Be in the right mindset. Remove your past because it's separating you from your future. What are things they're trying to cling on? What's the desert things of your life when God's trying to bring you into the fertile things of your life? I love this quote by Jim Rohn. Discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishment. So good. Harvey McKay says, a great accomplishment shouldn't be the end of the road, just the starting point for the next leap forward. Okay, one more quote. I got quote happy on this, but listen to this one. It had long since come to my attention that people of accomplishment rarely sat back and let things happen to them. They went out and happened to things. Leonardo da Vinci, so ahead of his time. All right, last point. Number three, in regards to homework, three things you have to do for your homework to be done. First one, you gotta hear the assignment. Second one, you gotta prepare for it. And number three, what do you think it is? Yeah. Do it. That's the last point. Was it already on screen? Oh. Oh. I was like, you guys got it today. Number three, do it. Do it. You can prepare all you want, but you gotta step up to the plate eventually. In baseball, you gotta swing. Just because you're standing in the warm-up box doesn't mean you can hit a home run from there. You gotta step up to a plate. Joshua 3, 14 through 17. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. I think we should take note of that. The river was the worst it is all year at this moment. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, 16, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. Great name. And the water below that point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. 17, meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. You gotta step up to plate, you gotta do it. How many times do we see the obstacles in our life and we go, I'm gonna wait for this to get better because it's really bad right now. And we try to give our own time seasons on it when God says, no, this is it. You need to do it. I prepared you the whole way and this is your moment to shine. I looked up the Jordan River and I wanted to show you, it's a short video clip of what the Jordan River looks like. This is a shallow area and it's not as wide as where they crossed. But this is the Jordan River. This is nowhere near what this verse talks about when it's flooding, but can we take a look at how slow this river is? So you gotta realize, if you're a family, you're carrying all of your livelihood on your back and your children walking next to you across this river. That's crazy. I don't know if I could really convince my wife, Patty, like, hey, let's grab one and Ollie and try walking across this right now. Like, no, that'll sweep you and the house down the stream. All right, thanks, we can cut it. Just to give a glimpse, that's not as bad as what the Bible's talking about. Okay? That's like cakewalk compared to what it is referencing here. Okay, just get that in your mind. This is scary. People are going, I need to take me, my wife, and my 27 kids, I don't know how many kids, across this river at the same time with all my possessions in the world, 40 years worth of stuff, my tent, my home. They're carrying their homes across the river. Get that in your mind. These giant tents. They're carrying it all across. That's easy compared to what they were looking at. I think it'd be crazy to see that and be like, you know what? Living in the desert, at least I won't lose my life in this obstacle. You got to do it. Doing your homework does three things for you. A, I love this first point. It shows the teacher you understand what is being taught. Following through with what God speaks into your life, it shows God that you understand what you're doing, what he's talked to you about, the purposes of your life. It's like, you got it. B, it prepares you for the tests you will face. I've been kind of reiterating the same point throughout the message. It prepares you for the tests you will face. I'll throw in another story. Okay. So at Life Pacific College, I don't want to say busy work class. It's not what I want to say. The class with the most amount of assignments per capita of any other class. John, do you know what class that is? What would be your guess? What comes to mind first? Romans it is. You were right. We didn't talk beforehand. You just know. Professor Duzik. It was all worth it. I remember being in this class, and I didn't do my homework properly. I kind of winged it like everything. My wife's already laughing because she remembers. She remembers the story very well. This class had the most amount of assignments than any other class, and oftentimes six classes added together, you're still doing more work in Romans. Not busy work, important work. Sarcasm. Just kidding. Just kidding. I love it. It was worth it. Remember, I didn't do something. I messed up so many times and different things. And Duzik is one of the most loving, compassionate people. No, honestly, he just loves you to pieces. And he walked up and into class, and I was like, man, I'll see you later. Have a great day. And he goes, hey, Matt, by the way, you're going to fail the class. And I was like, you dropped this bomb on me like the last week of class? I have to retake your entire class from scratch? And he goes, well, yeah, you've been messing up the whole way, and now all of them added together, your average is below. And I was like, and then those stack with I had some absent classes, and they all stack together to failing the class. And so I like to have this thing called let's make a deal. If you've ever, this is so true. Like if something's going wrong, like I want to see, like, is there some way for me to fix this right now, right here? What's door number three? Can we make this happen? what is Shane Jackson saying? No is just an obstacle to yes, or something like that. No is just a reroute to yes. And so I was talking to Duzik, and I was like, I need to pass this class. I can't do another semester. Like, I'm getting married, things are happening, I'm done. There's a lot of work. And he goes, all right. Just kind of jokingly says, how about you redo all the assignments and you can turn it in a couple days. And if you do all of them, I'll grade you on that. And I said, you got yourself a deal. And he kind of laughed, and I went away. And the next day, I was like, hey, Patty, can you keep me company in the library? I'm going to be there for maybe 12, 14 hours. Showed up when it opened and sat down and did all the assignments, back to back, straight. Walked to his office at the end of the day, handed him all the dozens of papers at the end. John's looking at me like, that's crazy. Did it, passed the class, we're good. He was like, I didn't really think you were gonna do that. And I was like, that was the option. It's gonna happen. I'd rather do that than another 4 months. So it prepares you for the tests you will face. C, it grows you as a person. Concordia says, when you do your homework, you grow in four areas. I know I have points within points within points. This is like the Matrix going on right now. Thanks, Janelle. Inception sermon. The four things it says you grow in is responsibility, time management, perseverance, and self-esteem. Those are four major things. Huge things. I think a lot of us can say, you know what? One of these areas I need to grow in. And oftentimes it comes from fulfilling the homework and preparing for the trials and tests that God has in store for you. Those four things again: responsibility, time management, perseverance, and self-esteem. So good. Would you close your eyes for a moment? Lord, it's guaranteed. We all face tests in our life. We all will face something that happens. We're not exempt and living in the Andy Griffith show or something. There's tests, there's trials, there's things that we face. Some of us face things daily, some of us face things once a month, once a year, whatever. But Lord, it's in our shoes to prepare for what we face. Rather than getting smacked into a barrier, God, you give us the opportunity to prepare and see that coming and fly over it with flying colors. Lord, open our eyes today. Allow us to begin to start doing the homework that you have placed in our lives. Prepare us. Lord, the huge one, let us hear from you. If we're not hearing you right now, God, open our ears. if we, some of us might be stuck on point number three, if we're facing these daunting challenges in front of us, or give us courage to step through them because you're with us. You care for us. You have everything prepared for us. As your eyes are closed, I totally had the thought that you can still audit a class and go to the class, but you actually, unless you sign up and become enrolled in the class, you can't take the final exam. You can't get graded and move on to the next level. You gotta be enrolled first. What am I talking about? Accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior, rededicate our lives, saying, God, enroll me. I want to start going after this. I want you to work in my life. I want you to build me up. I want to see what you have in store for me. If you're here today and you're saying, man, I want to be enrolled. I want Jesus in my life. Or you're saying, you know what? I said yes a long time ago, but I want to rededicate my life to you today. If that's you, would you just look up at me right now? Just so I can see your eyes or see your face. Amen. Amen. Okay. Lord, a couple of us had said yes today. Lord, encourage them. Let them know that they are enrolled. Let them know that you are with them with everything you are. They are not alone. They said yes to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.